Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in, listening or watching, depending on what platform you're on. We appreciate you guys so much, and thank you for your prayers. I love the guests I get to talk to and catch up with on this podcast, and today's is no different. I've got a friend that we used to talk years ago on the radio, and Carl Gallups is a best-selling author, former law enforcement officer, and senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Church. That's down in Florida. So he's known for his bold insights on prophecy and cultural issues, and he's authored 14 books, including Yeshua Protocol and Eyes to See. His brand new book is called Golgotha's Groaning, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. Let me just read the subtitle: Stunningly Unique Biblical Discourses from Genesis to Revelation That Will Shake the End Times World. We like to talk about Bible prophecy and the end times, yes, and keep Christians on their toes on this podcast. Brother, so good to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Dave, it's my honor, man. I always enjoy being on with you. And yeah, you mentioned me being a pastor and a former law enforcement officer. It's surreal. I feel like I'm lying when I tell you this because it's so surreal. But I have been 39 years in one church, one pulpit, and I'm getting ready to start my 40th year at Hickory Hammock Church. And it's unbelievable. And I mean, the Lord has just blessed that church and our ministry, and they allow me to write books. They want me to, and to do conferences and media. So thank you for having me on. I'm a very blessed man. God bless you.
Praise God. That's great. That's something to say nowadays where people jump around a little bit. But the website, by the way, friends, I'll give that to you as well. It's hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And if you can get information there on Carl's church. But his website, of course, carlgallups.com. All his books are on Amazon as well, but you can link through his website and get much more information and videos and so much more on his website. So, brother, before we dive into the book, because it is, I mean, looking at the cover and this, the title, it seems to be a more of a serious topic, a heavy topic, but there's some keen insights in here that I think I found it to be fascinating, some of the things that you write about. But just in the last, since we talked, it's been a while. Are you out speaking? Do you have a podcast? I know you do a lot of appearances, including preaching in the pulpit every Sunday. Give us a little update. Catch me up. And just for our listeners and viewers that maybe don't know about your ministry.
Yeah, very quickly. Yes, everything. Yes, 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 and yes. I used to have an international radio show for 22 years called Freedom Friday with Carl Gallups. I don't do that anymore because I'm just so busy and traveling and preaching and teaching and conferences and podcasts. Now the podcasts are, I am on a 4 or 5 radio stations on the Gulf Coast, but those are all streamed on YouTube and on iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasting and all of that. And it's called A Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallups. Now, people can find all my stuff at carlgallups.com. The other podcast I have is every Sunday we stream live to the world, but my staff and I, we take the sermon that I preach, we edit it down to, sometimes I preach like an hour and 10 minutes, but we edit it down to under an hour so that it can go on TikTok and other platforms, and it's all over the internet. And so, again, from my website, you can find all of those in descending order all the way back for years, and people love those because you can just listen to them. You don't have to watch me. It's in video, but, you know, if you can't stand looking at me, you can just listen to it.
Awesome. All right, so let's dive into the book, Carl, Golgotha's Groaning. Now, I'm going through the table of contents. You have it in different parts. I think there's 9 parts. And you would think this is not an Easter book or just about what happens on Golgotha, because you dive into some very fascinating things when it comes to prophecy or the Old Testament. So tell us about, I mean, what led you to this title for the book?
Okay. Yeah, well, thanks. Well, first of all, it comes from Romans, I think it's chapter 8. The Apostle Paul speaks of the whole creation is groaning, groaning as in the
Yes.
pains of childbirth, waiting for its restoration. Well, and I paraphrase that a little bit, but basically, I went to scholarship to, I mean, I knew what I thought the Holy Spirit was telling me Paul was talking about, but it stunned me when I saw the connection between as in the pains of childbirth and almost all the scholars that know Greek and Hebrew and, they were saying, listen, he's talking about the whole creation from the Garden of Eden fell, and it's been groaning under the weight of sin and Satan's domain. And it was looking forward to the birth of a child, which God prophesied in the Garden of Eden. From the womb of a woman will come a male child who will crush your head, Satan. And they said that's what Paul's talking about. And of course, that child did come, and Paul writes about that profusely. So that's what he's talking about. Golgotha is the central theme of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Not only do we know that by the surface text, but what this book does is it dives into the original language, the Paleo-Hebrew alphabet, that creates images and pictures right under the Hebrew words of every passage from Genesis to Revelation, which is translated into Hebrew, and I use the most scholarly translation of the Greek into the Hebrew, and under anything that speaks of the Golgotha event, the crucifixion event, in the Old Testament, it's all prophecies of it. In the New Testament, it's the revelation that it did happen by the prophecies. Every one of those, sometimes under two or three different script verses, sometimes under a paragraph, but in every one of those events, the prophecies or the revelations of it from Genesis to Revelation, the picture of Golgotha made from the letters of the ancient Paleo-Hebrew, three crosses, Jesus in the middle. Every one of them.
Amazing.
It's like a DNA code. Now, I'm
Yeah.
oversimplifying this. My book has 100 illustrations. It's all backed up by scholarship. One of my very prolific ministry partners is Messianic Rabbi Zev Parati. He lives in Tel Aviv. He speaks Hebrew as his first language. He's a believer in Yeshua. He ministers all over the world. And he checks all of my Hebrew, all of my findings, and he's blown away by it. In fact, he's got a new book coming out, and he's actually using some of my stuff in it. He's just so blown away by it. He said, Carl, this is not coincidence. This is my language, he said.
Yeah.
He said that this is impossible. It's impossible humanly.
Yeah, I wish we had pictures of some of these pages to describe what you're, well, to tell what you're
Yeah.
describing, because it really is fascinating. I'm a visual guy, and it's
Me
very
too.
fascinating. I love on page 20, words that are pictures, and I want to have you explain the Tav, the TAV, the evolution of the TAV, the Tav, the Tav.
Yep, the top.
It's a symbol, Hebrew symbol, right? Explain what that
Yeah.
is and keep it, dumb it down for people like me.
Yeah, I will. A lot of people know that the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the Aleph, and the last letter is the Tav. A lot of your viewers and listeners will know this just from things on the internet, etc. And I do include that understanding, but then it gets deeper and deeper and deeper until you see this DNA code that's from Genesis to Revelation. But in the ancient Hebrew, see, the whole Old Testament was written in what's called Paleo-Hebrew. And so that's it's it doesn't the letters don't look like the modern Hebrew. That was changed a couple of hundred years before Christ, and it has been evolving ever since. But the ancient scriptures, the Dead Sea Scrolls, when you look at it's written in Paleo Hebrew, and so the letters had a different shape. Well, the Tav. And by the way, all the letters had a meaning that went with every letter. And in 2013, Haaretz, Israel's major information source, news source, they wrote an article called The Amazing Hebrew Language. And they back this up. I've got it all in my book, that each letter has a meaning. And so the Aleph is the first letter. And for from ancient times, it means when it's used by itself as a code, it means God himself. He's the first. The last letter, remember, God says, I am the first and the last. Four times in the book of Isaiah, I'm the first and the last. I am your redeemer. I am your salvation. He says the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tav. Now, the Tav is in the shape of a crucifixion cross. And it's leaning just a little bit as underweight. Now, on the internet, you'll find people say, no, that's not true. It's a plus sign. It's an X. Absolutely false. It is the oldest paleo artifacts we have. And I've got pictures of them in the book. The oldest ones. It is in the shape of a crucifixion cross. It's not an X. It's not a plus sign. That was changed in some manuscripts to get away from what my book is about. The unbelievers and the Orthodox Jews that are unbelievers, they don't want this out. And so the Tav is in the shape of the cross. Now, it has its meaning. The Aleph is the meaning God. Okay, the Tav means the covenant. The sign, the mark. Now think of this. When you put those two together, and Aleph Tav in Hebrew is a word. It's called the et, and it's a grammar marker. And it's called the accusative case grammar marker. 50 languages of the world use something similar. English doesn't, so I explain this in the book. But when the letters are together, Aleph Tav, they're 11,000 times in the Old Testament. And it points to the action of the verb. But more importantly, God says, I am the Aleph and the Tav. Jesus says in the New Testament in Greek, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Same thing. I'm the Aleph and the Tav. Okay, so what happens is the Tav, when you go to the first verse, Bereshit bara Elohim et. You hear the et. Okay, Hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. I speak a little Hebrew, as you know. So that's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But in that one verse, in the opening verse, you drop down the Tav, the letter Tav from the words. There are three of them. The middle one is right under the et, God on the cross. I am the Lord God that goes to the cross to make the covenant with you, and this will be my sign. That's what it means. Wow. And it's in the first verse, and it gets deeper than that, way deeper. It goes all the way to the last words of the book of Revelation.
Very interesting, Carl. Yeah, was there a time, did you know this years ago and just now decided to start writing about this and bring out this book? Or was there an aha moment where you saw this pattern in Scripture?
Yeah, both. Some people had discovered long before me about the first verse and those three crosses, and they were blown away by it. I did some study. When I first saw it, I thought, well, that's coincidence. Well, God showed me better than that. He slapped me upside the head. But anyway, so I started digging. And so my first book, Yeshua Protocol, has a bunch of chapters on this, plus a bunch of other prophetic things that are happening. My next book, Eyes to See, has other chapters on this, my further discoveries, plus other things that are prophetic. And then this book, Golgotha's Groaning, It just goes from Genesis to Revelation because, yes, I've known about it for years, but God keeps showing me. My wife calls them downloads from heaven. Messianic Rabbi Zev Peratt, when I share him with these things, he says, I've never seen this. This is unbelievable. I've been on the internet looking for a lot of things that the Lord has shown me that's in black and white. You cannot deny what you're seeing. Now, if you want to say it's a coincidence, you can say that, but I've got perfect proof that it's not coincidence, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But so this book, I took the Greek New Testament under the Delitzsch Greek to Hebrew translation that's used in all the seminaries, all colleges, all the experts use that translation, the Hebrew translation of the Greek. And I thought, well, could these images be under the text about Golgotha in the New Testament? Could those pictures of three crosses on a hill with Jesus in the middle, made by the Hebrew letters, could they be there? And I started looking, and they are there from Matthew to Revelation. And listen, not just scattered around, right where they should be, right where the crucifixion is being talked about, right where the crucifixion is being talked about, and the New Testament writers say, as the prophet Isaiah said, or as the prophet said, or as Psalm 22 says. And when they say that, there it is. It's in the text, and way more than all of that. We don't have time on this interview to talk about it, but I can get to the proof of this in a moment if you want, but that's the, believe it or not, the quick answer to your question.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, that's what we have to do, and I know people can get more if they go to your website, carlgallops.com, or the book itself, Golgotha's Groaning. We've got to take a brief pause. We will be right back on Worldview Matters. Introducing the Worldview Matters Conference, coming to Green Bay, Wisconsin, May 1st and 2nd, 2026. Here are some of the featured speakers: Ken Michael, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Dr. Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. That's the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd, 2026, Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, friends, we have entered into our third year of producing Worldview Matters, and we're amazed and praise God for how it's going, and thank you for your prayers. I occasionally get some notes, and I'll just do one, a little note that came in with a donation this week. Blessings to you. I love this ministry. So weary of our woke world. Praying for you in Christ, and that's from Sue. Thank you, Sue, so much. And the people that have been, you know, getting in a hold of us recently, sending in donations, this is our time where we come to you. We do this, I think, once a year, twice a year, but we are nonprofit, so we run on donations. Praise God, you've kept us going. So in this campaign, we've got a brand new gift to send you. If you are able to financially support us with, say, $25 a month, a lot of people pick that amount, or a gift of $200, it is tax deductible. And we would love to send you this as a thank you, our brand new stainless steel tumbler with my tagline on one side: keep speaking the truth about things that matter, and Worldview Matters on the other side. So the website, if you are able to give or get more information, go to worldviewmatters.tv. Thank you for your prayers and support. So, Carl, back to the book, and I know it's going by very fast today, as I knew it would with you, but I'll give you your choice on where to go next. There's two different places in the book that I was curious about, but the first one was the 12 supernatural words. The other one would be Abraham's longest walk. Two fascinating sections of the book in Golgotha's Groaning. So what would you like to touch on?
Oh, the first one that you said, the 12 supernatural words, for sure, because that's what I was taught. That's my proof. And and again, Zev Perret looked at this and he said, Carl, this is 1,000% proof that what you're seeing and what you're recording has been supernaturally implanted there. Now, there's no way to get around what I'm getting ready to tell folks next. If they say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's in your mind then, because not only is it in the Bible in plain text, it's also there in picture, and it's also illustrated in the book, and it's also backed up by scholarship, Hebrew scholarship. So, I mean, if you don't want to accept the proof, that's up to you. But here's the proof. So take that first verse again. Bereshit, okay, that's the first word. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, if you listen to that, in Hebrew, there are seven words that say that, okay? Seven. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Seven, okay? But in English, it's 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. But the first word, Bereshit, makes up three of our English words. There are only six consonants with vowel sounds, but six letters of the Hebrew alphabet in the word Bereshit. Only six. But out of those six letters, and you'll see it with your eyes, Zev Perret has verified it. It's his language. It's his words. He knows. And he said, you're right. In fact, he showed me something about it that I'll share with your folks. But anyway, when you look at those six letters, not a letter scramble, but in order, in symmetrical order, there are 12 other Hebrew words. It's like our English word content, for example. I see the word con, C-O-N. I see the word tent, T-E-N-T. I see the word ten, T-E-N. You see what I'm saying? I'm not scrambling the letters. The words are just there. Con, ten, content. Okay. Now, In Bereshit, it's the same thing, except there are 12 Hebrew words that are all used in the Old Testament. And I've got the actual scriptures where they're used. Zev's the one that pointed that out to me when I showed him the 12 words. He said, Carl, every one of those words are used in the Old Testament. And so I said, okay, well, we're on to something. But more than that, the 12 words spell out a message. You take the words and it spells out the message. Now, we're running out of time, so let me tell you where your folks can right now go read the synopsis where all 12 of those words, synonyms in the Greek, are used by the Apostle Paul in one of the most famous passages he ever wrote. It's Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. I'm going to have to paraphrase it very quickly. I don't have it in front of me. But it says, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, and through him he created the universe, things seen, things unseen. Everything that's been created is created by him, for him, and in him all things holds together. He is the head of the church, the house of God. And through him and his shed blood, he made peace with God on the cross. Those 12 words in symmetrical order say that very same thing. Wow. And Paul must have known it, or either the Holy Spirit just gave it to him, because Paul doesn't say this truth comes from 12 words from the first letter. He doesn't say that. He just says that as truth, but it comes from the 12 words of the first word of Genesis 1. Now think of this. We already know there's three crosses on the hill with Jesus in the middle. A picture of it in Genesis 1. If that was the only place in the Bible where that existed, I would say that's pure coincidence. But it's from Genesis to Revelation, and the first word confirms it with the message that's written out. It's like God saying, look, believe that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation, believe it from the text, believe it from the first verse, but if you can't believe that, then I'll draw you a picture of it. Three crosses with Jesus on the middle. And if you can't believe that, look at the 12 words in the first word, and it spells out the whole story, the whole truth of what you're looking at. This is humanly impossible, brother. And these kinds of phenomena are from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. My book has illustrations of it all.
Well, humanly impossible, of course. You know, God is, his ways are above our ways. Yeah. So, you know, you write a lot in other your books, too, about prophetic implications in the end times. So what's the connection between Golgotha and end times fulfillment of prophecy?
Yeah. Well, there's several huge connections. And again, I'm going to make this quick. You can read, folks can read the book and see the depth of it all. But the bottom line is, this is supernaturally impossible. There's no other book on the planet that has anything like this, much less the 50 prophecies of the return of Israel from Deuteronomy to Zechariah, much less the 300 and something prophecies of the coming Christ, everything that he would suffer, everything that he would do, everything that would happen, plus he would be raised again. All of that's in the Old Testament. So the prophetic significance is, since all of that is true, and almost all the prophecies have already been fulfilled except for the very end times, guess what's going to be fulfilled? The very end times. There's no way it's not. And it's going to happen like God's word says. So you can trust the words of that book, of course. There is no other religious book, any book on the planet that has anything like this. I have challenged people now for years on media, in conferences. Please show me another book. Name another book that does this. No one can, because it doesn't exist anywhere except the Word of God. Plus, it also shows us that the whole message of God's Word, from Genesis, where the fall took place, to Revelation, where everything is made new, all through it is the picture of Golgotha. Golgotha is the most cataclysmic event that the world has ever seen. The calendars of the world were changed to mark it. It shook the world. It's still shaking the world. And Satan hates it. He is in the process. Revelation 12:12. Woe unto you, earth, in those days, because Satan is filled with rage, because he knows his time is short.
Amen, brother. Amen. There are so many other things as well that connect from Genesis to Revelation, that all the way through. I mean, the story of redemption, the Bible is cohesive and contextual, and if it's connected with all the, how many authors, 40 authors, 1,500
over 40 authors, over 1,500 years, 66 books, four different continents these documents were written on. I mean, most of the people, most of the guys didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
I mean,
miraculous. Truly miraculous. Yeah. Is it a Holy Spirit inspired book, God breathed book? Carl, in the last couple of minutes, I know we're approaching Christmas season, and we are so thankful that the Word became flesh and Jesus fulfilled what the Father had planned for him to do. Just speak to that for a moment with your pastor's heart for a few minutes, just to encourage our brothers and sisters.
I preach and teach on that a lot. And what you just said also has, in those verses, it has three crosses on the hill, and it's crazy. But not only that, there's so much more hidden, but yet now being revealed messaging in those. Like John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, get that, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and in Him we saw the glory of the Father, the one and only from heaven. Okay, so we know what we're talking about here. I mean, there Jesus is identified as the Word that became flesh. Why? Like Apostle Paul says in Galatians 4:4, he said, at just the right time,
yes,
God sent forth His Son. At the right time. And I dig to all what that means, pull all of that together and show people, and they freak out when they see it. I mean, down to the second when He said, it is finished, it fulfilled prophecy and everything going on in the world around them. So that's what it's all about, brother. That's what Christmas is. It's not, the little trappings that we do in our secular world. It is about Golgotha. God did fix this. He did destroy Satan's kingdom. He did bring it to an end. It is finished, and the new is on its way.
Amen. So encouraging. And just to remember, friends, we are, like you referred to it a minute ago, that we are kind of bombarded by secularism and, very weak and meaningless displays, decorations and shopping
traditions
and jingle bells and Santa Claus and all these things that have nothing to do with the divine plan, the Word of God. The Word became flesh, Jesus, and He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, and He is returning. Carl, we've got 1 minute left. I want to make sure that people can go to carlgallops.com. Anything else you'd like to share in a minute, brother?
No, just that I really appreciate you having me back on, and it's good to be with you again, my friend, my brother. I pray we can do more revelations from the Word of God together. But folks, just go to carlgallops.com, and everything is right there on one page. It's all archived sermons, radio shows, other things. So I think you'll enjoy it. Once people see it, they write me and say, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea this website was like this." Thank you.
Well, praise God. And shout out to Defender Publishing. Good people there. And congrats on the new book. Carl, have a very Merry Christmas, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
It's my pleasure. God bless you, brother.
Blessings. Friends, thank you so much for your prayers and your support. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.